The first coach on the teleconference is Iowa's Kirk Ferentz. Ferentz guides the outright West Division champion Hawkeyes as they make their first appearance in the Big Ten football championship game. Iowa finished the season 8-0 in conference play and 12-0 overall, setting a new program record for victories in a season. A victory on Saturday would give the Hawkeyes their 12th Big Ten championship. Coach, thank you so much for joining us today. If you could give us some quick opening comments, then we'll go ahead and take questions.
Well, sure. Just, you know, very proud of our football team. They did a great job all season long, and really just did it week by week, like anybody else that would get this far. So just proud of their efforts and the way they've really come together. And needless to say, just really, you know, we're thrilled to represent the West in the championship game.
Thanks, Coach. We'll go ahead and take questions now.
I'd like to inform our listeners that in order to pose a question, press star 1 on the telephone keypad. Again, with any questions, that's star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause just a moment to compile the roster. Our first question comes from the line of Brian Bennett with ESPN.com.
Hey, Kirk. I don't know how much you've seen Connor Cook at Michigan State, but if you have, I wonder if you notice any similarities between him and C.J. Beathard just in their ability to kind of come up with the big play at the right time.
Yeah, I think I have had a chance several occasions during the year to see Connor play, and I think there are some comparisons. Both of them have really good records. Probably the big difference is Connor Cook's is more extensive. You know, he's just had a tremendous career. And maybe it's interesting or almost ironic in some ways. I really feel like his coming out party was against us in 2013. At that time, they were rotating the quarterbacks a little bit and, you know, trying to get settled in. And, you know, he had played well prior to that game, but I thought he played really well against us. Didn't seem like he missed a pass in that ball game. And hasn't looked back since that time. He's just had a tremendous career. He's done a really nice job, operating their offense, running their football team, leading their football team, most importantly. And just, he's one of the better passers we've seen, you know, I think in recent years here. I think, you know, both he and the quarterback in Indiana are really just, you know, classic, pocket passers. And then Connor can also run the ball, too, and does run it with designed runs or improvisation. So he's just he's a really outstanding football player. And you can see why he's been a big part, I think, of their success. There are a lot of reasons they've been successful, but he's certainly a big part of that.
And I also want to ask you an unrelated note. Early in the year, you guys were able to pull out victories against Pitt and Wisconsin and, you know, some late-game situations, close games. How much do you think that helped the overall confidence of your team and kind of propelled you guys forward the rest of the year?
It really – that's kind of how our season started out. The first game, you know, ended up being – a fairly comfortable situation in the fourth quarter, but going back to our Iowa State game, that was really a very close game, and then we just kind of pried it open there right at the end. And then to your point, you know, the Pittsburgh game, the Wisconsin game, so it was really, you know, we had a lot of last possession type ball games there, and the other part of the equation, I think, is we had a lot of different circumstances going on, some injuries and things of that nature. So, you know, no matter what seemed to happen, our team found a way to persevere. It might have been an offensive play, a defensive play, a 57-yard field goal, whatever it may have been. A lot of different little stories and a lot of different folks involved in it, and that's, I think, really helped our team gain some confidence and move forward.
Great, thanks, Kirk.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Our next question is from Nicole Auerbach with USA Today.
Hi, Kirk. Along similar lines about similarities, I wonder, do you sense similarities or notice them between both programs or the style of play or tough defensive-minded teams or, you know, not turning the ball over, things like that? I mean, do you, as you started to look at Michigan State and kind of watch them from afar, do you sense similarities between the programs in those areas and kind of the on-field product?
Yeah, I think so, and I think you know, really, if you look at it over the last decade or so, I think, and maybe even before that, but I'm thinking more in terms of Michigan State right now, I would lump Wisconsin in the conversation, too. I think the three of us We're not identical, but I think there are probably some parallels between the way we do things. And, you know, some people may not think that's the best way to do things, but all three programs have had their share of success doing that. And to your point, when it gets down to us in Michigan State, you know, we're different in a lot of ways. They play a different front defensively than we do. But they have played outstanding defense ever since Mark got there. I mean, that's his background. You know, he's got a tremendous scheme. Coach Narduzzi was there with Mark up until this year, and you know, he left, but they haven't lost a beat at all defensively. So yeah, they're a real physical team defensively. They're very tough to run and throw against, and I think that's kind of been a cornerstone of their program. They're a physical football team offensively. They run the ball very, very well. They throw it very well, especially right now with Connor Cook at quarterback. And so, you know, in theory, that's what we're trying to do too. You know, we've always felt like defense is really an important thing, and then we try to be a team that can be balanced offensively as well. And, you know, we've had pretty good success with that this year. So, yeah, I think there are a lot of parallels. There are a lot of differences too, but certainly a lot of parallels.
Thanks, Kirk.
Mm-hmm. Our next question is from Luke Meredith with the Associated Press.
Afternoon, Kirk.
Hey, Luke.
Hey, going back, it's easy to kind of forget because you guys haven't played in a couple of years, but ever since D'Antonio got there, it seems that every Iowa-Michigan State game either comes down to the wire or it's, you know, still up in the air in the fourth quarter. What are some of your recollections of this series?
You know, for the most part, that is a series, and with the exception of probably 2010, 2011, that they nailed us in 11. We got them in 10, so those are probably the two that you can throw out. But, yeah, we've had a lot of really close, tough, competitive ball games. The 13 game, they really pretty much had control of that thing in the second half and wouldn't relinquish it. And again, Connor Cook's play was really important there. But it's kind of interesting in some ways. I go back to my time here as an assistant in the 80s, and it was the same way back then. I can remember us getting an interception in the red zone, or actually in the end zone, whatever year that would have been, 84, 83 up there, I guess 84 maybe. We had some close endings here in Kinnick, 84, 85. So traditionally it's been a great series, but you know, certainly since Mark's gotten there, he and his staff have done just a tremendous job of building that program, and we've had some really exciting ball games.
We continue to Teddy Greenstein with the Chicago Tribune. Teddy, your line is open. We continue to Bill Bender with Sporting News.
Hey, Coach. Good afternoon. You mentioned that defensive front from Michigan State. So with two teams that, you know, I think their identity, you know, offensive line, defensive line, what's the biggest challenge when you're breaking down the things that go on in the trenches for a game like this?
I'm just coincidentally just sitting here watching them right now against Michigan. And, you know, they're just they're really a very talented group. They're very well coached, and they played very hard, and that's a really good combination. So they've got great size, great athleticism, but more importantly, they play with great technique and leverage, and they play extremely hard, and that's really how their whole defense plays. But so it's going to be a big challenge. We're going to have to be at our absolute best to, you know, try to neutralize those guys a little bit.
And I remember talking to you earlier this season, and you were mentioning how 1981 was a big year for Iowa, winning the Big Ten championship, and an important year for the Big Ten. Would you say this is maybe equally as important with the college football playoff between you and Michigan State trying to get into the playoff?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's important for both of us, certainly. And I just can't imagine whoever wins this ballgame not being in the playoffs. You know, I guess things could happen. I don't know all the dynamics of that whole equation. But, you know, both teams have had really tremendous seasons. And, you know, I just can't imagine the team that emerges out of this thing not being in it. But no matter what happens, it doesn't diminish what both these teams have accomplished. And we're really proud of our football team, and I know Mark's got to be equally proud of his. I mean, he's got a tremendous team. What they did in Columbus a week ago is almost unheard of. In fact, I haven't paid attention, but I'm guessing it's got to be up there as far as having historical impact. So that game in itself just tells you a lot about their football team, and I think the Michigan game does too as well, in that you know, it was a crazy ending, but it's illustration of they're a team that never quits, and they just believe in themselves and play hard right to the end.
Thanks, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
We now return to the line of Teddy Greenstein with the Chicago Tribune.
Sorry about that. I had mute pressed earlier. Kirk, talking about CJ, what were some things that convinced you that he was the guy? And second part, what have been maybe a favorite moment from this season in terms of his performance?
Yeah, I think the real story there is, you know, when he came here, he had a very live arm. He had that in high school. We didn't teach him that. He's got excuse me, good feet and escapability, and he came here with those two things. And he also came here as just a tremendous young man. He's really, you know, comes from a great family. He's just a outstanding young guy. So, you know, all those things were in place when he got here. I think it's just more about his maturation. And he did play, came in relief a year ago against Pittsburgh, and then started the next week. And then sat the rest of the time up until the bowl game. But when during that process, we just saw him improving and maturing, his approach, just the way he did everything, the way he carried himself. And so we opened it up back in December. Let both quarterbacks compete, and we had a very tough decision to make in January. And, you know, usually if you say you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. That's the old axiom. And in this case, we did have two, and ironically, a year ago, we had three because we had Cody Suckle, who went on and I think won 8 or 9 games at Louisiana Tech. So we've been really lucky. We've had some really good young guys at that position. And we just, felt like CJ was the best fit for this football team at that time. And I think the thing we've noticed since that time, he not only accepted that responsibility, but he really embraced it. And I think his confidence has grown. I think his leadership, his leadership traits have just really taken off. So as you move into our season, you know, it's kind of interesting because everybody's talking like he's a veteran player. The guy had played 1.5 games a year ago. But he really has played remarkably well in the two things. I said this early in the season, I'll say it to this point. Two things that really stood out are his toughness and then his poise. And those are things you don't always find out the total story in practice. So he's just done a wonderful job there. And maybe for a Kodak moment is when he took off in Indiana and leapt, made a dive for the end zone. Because he's been hurting pretty good physically, and I wasn't sure he was going to get up after that one. But maybe that's the medicine he needed because he's getting better physically now ever since that time.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
Our next question is from the line of Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com.
Hey, Kirk, at this time last year, a lot of people were wondering whether the Big Ten would even make the playoff. And now you have a national champion defending. You have a game that a lot of people are looking at as a play-in game for the playoff, three top six teams. What do you think this turnaround or this moment means just for the conference after going through kind of a rough decade or so before last year?
Yeah, you know, I'm really careful on that broad-based comments about conferences and just trying to paint everything with a brush, one brush. I think perception sometimes really gains momentum faster than it needs to. And it's like winning a game. I mean, there's really a fine line a lot of times, not always, but there's really a fine line a lot of times between winning and losing. And I would say the same thing about teams and conferences. And I think, sometimes we all get a little carried away with just, you know, our enthusiasm for certain things without really looking hard at it. So, I don't know that I've been in this league quite a while now, you know, 17 years most recently and 26 total. I can't remember ever feeling like, you know, we were in a crisis situation, or really totally outclassed. And, you know, but that's just one person's opinion. But, we've had some really good football teams in our conference and year in and year out. And like every conference, we've had some teams that end up not being as competitive maybe as you hope. But that's true in, true in every conference. So, again, I think there's just some of the generalizations tend to get blown out of proportion, but that's just my opinion.
Thanks, Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question is from Graham Couch with the Lansing State Journal.
Hey, Kirk. When with this team did you sense that it could be a special season? Was it in August? Was it something as the wins started piling up? Was there a moment where you thought this can work, the characteristics that this team does well, the things that they do well are there for us?
Yeah, you know, probably the best way I can frame that out, you know, the team is, they've had a great attitude and they've had a really strong work ethic going back to January. So that part's been good. And even through spring ball, I would say those things. But what you know, you're never quite sure of the personality of a team. I guess maybe at some point you are, but we weren't in April, and I really couldn't have told you what our personality was, or you know how strong our leadership was at that point. And not that it was a negative, but it wasn't a positive. It's just we were kind of like, you know, in the middle there. And so you know, somewhere over the course of the summer, I think this thing just started growing a little bit. And the bottom line is our seniors. We have 21 seniors that have just done a tremendous job of accepting ownership and, you know, really, really leading by example. And obviously not all 21 guys are starters. Not all 21 of them are physically maybe helping us on Saturdays. But through what they're doing and the way they're doing it, they've really been good that way. And then we've had a lot of younger guys jump in there as well. So, yeah, I think it's just been an ongoing thing, and certainly during camp and during the month of August, I think the more we saw the guys in tough situations, the better we felt about things. But, again, you never know quite how it's going to go until you start competing, and you know, then you get in some tough situations on the game field and it makes you feel pretty good. And maybe as good a moment as we had this season was our game before the bye week up in Northwestern, because we went in there really depleted injury-wise, and then – you know, early in the game, Jordan Canzeri, who was, you know, carrying the load for, it was he and LaShawn starting the season, then it was down to Jordan. He went down early in the game, and, you know, Akram Wadley came off the bench and responded. So, you know, that was probably a really big moment for us. Just that wasn't the only position where we were a little bit limited, but, you know, we were down to, you know, pretty much out of linemen at that point. If anybody had gotten hurt there, we would have been in trouble. So, you know, those kinds of experiences, I think, really – yeah, that's where you start to feel like, okay, this group's pretty much on task here.
Did you sense the respect for your team growing from outside as the season went on, as people saw you play certain places? Because it seemed like at one point there wasn't a whole lot of it, and then all of a sudden as people would see the Indiana game and the Northwestern game, there was more of it.
Yeah, you know, I don't listen too much to what's going on outside, but from what I can tell, there's still not a lot of it there. So that's fine. I mean, you know. All we're trying to do is play. That's all we're trying to do. We're trying to win every game in front of us, and our team has done a really nice job of that. They've just stayed focused on the immediate challenge ahead of us, and that's one of the reasons we've had a good season. And that's easier said than done, as you know. So that's really kind of where we're at, and we're really not worried about the noise too much. Probably the only surprise I had, whatever week it was, I think we jumped up to 5 or something like that in that college football poll. I can't remember where we started out. But, you know, the week before, I think we were 9th or 10th and described kind of as mundane. And then the next week we jumped up 4 or 5 spots and we were described as consistent. So we'll take that as a compliment. But bottom line is, you know, we really haven't worried too much about you know, what kind of how people perceive us. It's just we just been trying to win the games in front of us.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Our next question is from Mike Griffith with MLive Media Group.
Coach, going back to that 2013 game you mentioned, Cook, do you remember how different was that MSU game plan than what you'd seen? I know they hadn't really gone downfield that much, and I'm just wondering, reflecting back on that game, if maybe that struck you the way State was able to go downfield in that game when they hadn't the first 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going off memory here, so don't hold me to this, okay, please. Although I know you guys would never do that if I misspoke. But if I'm not mistaken, I think that was the Western Michigan game, right, the first game of the year. And as I recall, too, I can't remember, but I think the defense was almost outscoring the offense coming into our game. It was close. And where I'm going on this whole thing, I think, to me, you look at the success that Michigan State's had under Mark. And you know, you talk about sticking to your guns. I mean, they did not get off to a good start, as I recall, that season. But nobody over there panicked. They just kept doing what they were doing, and they were trying to get the quarterback situation solved or settled, not solved. And the other thing I remember about some of the early season film that year that we saw, it almost looked like the receivers were allergic to the ball. They really just were not catching the ball very consistently. And it just seems like, you know, in our game, that's where it all came together. The receivers really played well, and Connor Cook really hit stride. So from my vantage point and my recollection, again, give me a little license, this is a couple of years ago, but they were struggling offensively. They were dynamite on defense, but, you know, that's when I thought things really kind of came together for them as an offensive football team, and it seems like they haven't looked back since then. They've really been playing well, and, you know, when you got a quarterback like him, you know, I mean, it's kind of like us here. I mean, we had Sean Green. Believe me, we knew to give him the ball. When we had Brad Banks, we featured him. So when you have a player that's a really special player, to me, that's just good coaching. And, you know, you utilize the skills that your players possess. And, you know, Connor Cook's an outstanding passer. So I think that's just, you know, it's good football right there.
And the follow-up, Coach, as far as the national narrative goes and how misleading it can be, a lot of people might just base the last time they saw Iowa on a bigger stage was a bowl game. I mean, how different is this team than the Iowa team we saw play Tennessee in the bowl, and how did that difference occur? I know you said over the summer, but what are some of the differences?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we've played well in bowls, and we certainly played poorly in that game, and we played poorly in the first Orange Bowl. 2002 played very well in our 2009 one. So, yeah, where I'm going on that, you know, one thing we all made sure our players understood when we got back in January, this is 2015, and, you know, what happened in 2014 or 2013 or 2009, that was all history. So it was a new team with a new opportunity, and, you know, that's really what we were focused on. And I think you know, really all it is, it's not like we're totally different by any stretch, but it's just we're doing probably everything a little bit better right now, and certainly in that bowl game. But the game I really like to refer to more so than the bowl game, I think that's a separate discussion. Our last game in Kinnick last year was just representative of the kind of football we don't want to play. We turned it over in the red zone a couple times right off the bat. We turned it over and gave our opponent great field position for their first touchdown before the game, end of the half. I apologize. And couldn't cover a punt. So, you know, it was just we did not play well, and that's not the way we want to, you know, represent the program by any stretch.
Our next
Sorry about that.
Rick Brown with the Des Moines Register.
Kirk, you've clearly had teams that were good defensive, some were good offensively, but this team seems to play the way you like to coach. In other words, it's the steak and not the sizzle. Am I right about that?
I think that's fair, Rick. And they're, you know, it's some games have been more about the offense, and some games have been more about the defense, some more about special teams. And that's kind of the nature of football. So, yeah, this team – One thing I think they've really done well is play off of, you know, wherever we need some help, it seems like we find it, and that's certainly a good trait for a team to have.
And then you keep saying you're going to morning practice, you keep waiting for the other shoe to drop. Are you to the point now you're finally convinced that was a good move?
Yeah, I think probably somewhere a couple of weeks ago I figured, you know, no matter what happened at that point, we did the right thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's right for everybody, but it's just something that really works out for our guys, and this team really seemed to enjoy it. And I think there were, excuse me, from our vantage point, a lot of positives that derived out of the decision. So, yeah, we're happy that we did that for sure.
Our next question is from Mark Tracy of the New York Times.
Hi, Coach. Congratulations.
If you could
help us, business, we're not expert in watching film out a little bit. You guys in Michigan State both played Nebraska in the past month, and I'm wondering if, you know, much as the, you know, selection committee and whatnot likes to look at common opponents, is there anything you can glean from tape by looking at how you played and they played versus a common opponent?
You know, yeah, for sure you can. And, you know, it's a game fresh in our minds. But then I would counter it. You know, that game was not characteristic of Michigan State defense, and I haven't gone through all the tapes yet by any stretch. We didn't know we were playing them till last night. So, but that game was just, you know, it didn't look like them at all, quite frankly. And Nebraska made some really good plays against them. And but you know, if you look at the Michigan game, you look at the Ohio State game, that really is more indicative, in my opinion, of the way Michigan State plays defense, the way they played it again yesterday. So, you know, it's and every season has that. I mean, we all got a couple games where you can just kind of throw it out and say, you know, that happens. It happens during the course of the season. But if you look at the body of work, I mean, they're really a good defensive football team. So we're going to have to work really hard to be able to, you know, come up with any points. And but it also is a good illustration of how potent they are offensively. I thought their receivers played outstanding that game, and the running backs are all really good players, and the quarterback is a given.
Got it. Thanks.
Our next question is from Joe Rexroth with the Detroit Free Press.
Hi, Kirk. I just wanted to ask you about Desmond King. Going back to his recruitment, did you see the potential for him to be the kind of player he's become? What has he done to become that player, and what does he do for your defense?
Well, Phil Parker recruits Michigan and parts of Ohio for us, and it's kind of a vintage Phil Parker recruiting story. And that, you know, he had Desmond in the back of his mind. Really kind of played it low with us. And I don't quote me, but I guess go ahead and quote me. I think the first time I saw him on tape was actually in January after our bowl game that year. So, you know, the astute judge of talent I was, I figured he'd be a pretty good safety. You know, and the next fall he's playing corner for us as a true freshman. So that's why Phil's in charge of evaluating the defensive backs. But it's a little bit like the Micah Hyde story. You know, he kind of had Micah tucked away a little bit and then brought him up in January. We ended up offering him, and Micah was committed to a MAC school at that point. And Micah came in, played 4 years, and still playing really well for the Packers. And Desmond's really the same story. You know, Phil had a real feeling for him. You know, so when it came time, we offered Desmond, and we were very fortunate to get him. And I think, again, the big surprise was he ended up playing Jordan Lomax, our free safety, was our starting corner in 2012. No, I'm sorry, it was 2013, and got hurt in our first ball game. So Desmond was in there and hasn't come out since, and it's just done a great, great job. And I think the big difference between him right now and a year ago is he's letting his experience really work for him. You know, he knows better now how to study film, how to get ready for a game, and you know, that really just helps you make you a better football player.
Are there Micah Desmond similarities in, you know, in their skill set and their approach?
You know, they're a little different builds and a little different. You know, they look different when they play, but the similarity is that they both have really good ball skills. Micah was a very good return guy for us and still doing it for the Packers. The other similarity is that they're both obviously they're overlooked in recruiting, but they're just really good football players. I'm not sure they're combine guys, if you will. Otherwise, Micah probably would have been a higher pick, but he's had an outstanding career and played a lot of football. So I think, you know, now in retrospect, you'd probably pick him a little bit higher. And we've had a lot of guys like that. Mike Daniels is up with the Packers, kind of the same story. You know, they got Mike at a really good pick, although they picked him, I think, third round, which that's gutsy for a guy who's not 6 foot. But he's playing better than that, you know, if you know what I mean. I mean, he's a really good player too. So, I think that there's some parallels between the two guys.
Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We've got time for one last question for Coach Ferentz.
Thank you, and that comes from Mitch Sherman with ESPN.com.
Hey, Kirk. Emergence of your tight ends this year, Krieger Coble and George Kittle, in what ways have you seen that impacts your team's growth offensively?
Well, yeah, it's a really good story. We just got done talking about, Desmond King and his development. Henry's a guy who was a good, solid player coming in this year. He is just, you know, and he's always had great hands, unbelievable hands, but he is just playing at a really high level right now. And I don't know how many tight ends in the conference or country could be playing better. He's blocking really well. He does a great job running routes and just has really been very, very productive for us. So we've had a lot of good tight ends through here historically, and he's playing as well as anybody we've had. Not to suggest he's the athlete that Dallas Clark is, but not many guys are. But just as a tight end, he's really playing well. And then George Kittle is a guy who was undersized out of high school. And, you know, just is improved with every turn. I thought he really kind of turned the corner last spring. You know, he really started blocking the way we had hoped he would, and he's done a lot of good things, and he's gone and made a lot of big plays for us too. So the combination of those two guys really has been good for us. They're doing a great job, and just got done talking about Desmond King. You know, the ball skills he has, I'd say the same thing about Henry. Henry is a good baseball player and has really good ball skills as well. So, you know, it's a real plus at that position.
Do you think coming into this year that the production from your tight ends was going to be more dependent on Jake Doozy getting back to full health, or that those two guys could possibly step into this role?
Well, we were hopeful that both of them would play well, and needless to say, we were hoping that Jake would really play well too. And you know, he's coming off a tough injury, so he gets a little bit better with every week, and maybe this week he can be even more involved. But yeah, just and it's kind of representative of our football team, you know. So we got a guy who's hurt in Jake, and you know, it looked like we're gonna have a real void, and then you get two guys that really emerged and are playing at a very high level. So that's really kind of been the way our team's been. Whatever we seem to incur an injury, somebody grabs the rope and you know, just helps out and makes it be okay. So it's you know, it's been that way with the whole football team, but certainly it's the case with the tight ends.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Coach, thank you very much for your time today, and we'll see you down in Indy.
That sounds good. Thanks, Sam. Bye-bye.